What a wonderful world.
It's time for Conversations with the Mayors, brought to you by the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carborough, home to one of the most diverse, collaborative, and fastest-growing communities of business leaders in North Carolina. The Chamber is uniquely qualified to connect you with the people, resources, and opportunities that you need to succeed. Learn more about membership at carolinachamber.org. We are joined now on the phone by the chair of the Orange County Commissioners, James Etta Bedford. James Etta, how's your week going?
Oh, it's been busy. How about you?
Busy as always, of course. And you got to fold into your week for the first time in 2024, a commissioners meeting last night. So we'll start there. How was it getting back into the swing of things?
Well, the agenda was full, that's for sure.
I bet.
that happens when you have a little bit of a break there. So, but we did some good things. We passed out $5,700,000 for affordable housing to various nonprofit partners.
That seems like a pretty big deal. Where did that money come from?
Well, last year, the manager proposed in the capital improvement plan to do $15 million across 10 years. And the $5 million was supposed to be next year, fiscal year June 30th. And Commissioner Green-Sally said, why can we just move it up and not have to increase taxes? And the answer was yes. So there was an RFP that went out, and then the various nonprofits applied. And some of them, they're here in Orange County, and they range from, Pee Wee Homes, $166,500 to, I think the highest is for Trinity Court, $950,000, which is a Chapel Hill and HUD project partnering with Community Housing Partners. They had become, full of mold and had to be torn down. And just costs had, they had all their funding in place, but the costs have just escalated for operations, for their insurance, for construction. So this $950,000 allows them to go ahead and they're like shovel ready. I think they can break ground in April. So that's a plus.
That's a very fast turnaround. That's good to hear.
We also had 11 parcels of land that were available, but only one parcel was taken. So we didn't decide what to do. I don't know what we'll do with the other remaining 10 parcels. That'll come back to us later. We may just hold them. As land gets more and more valuable, there might be or partners have more cash or they're available. This was free, but that there was a timeline, like you need to use it in the next 2 years, so that they might be able to use it in the future.
It's the voice of James Etta Bedford, chair of the Orange County Commissioners. What else was on the agenda there that stood out to you?
Oh, the big one, the one big and one little one. The little one was just to review school capacity. We have in place what we call SAPFA, the School Adequacy Facilities Ordinance. And for years, school board members have advocated that the preschool classrooms that we have shouldn't be included in the K-12 capacity. And by law, counties are mandated to provide facilities for schools, but not for pre-K. And last year, we didn't vote, but there was seven nodding heads that, we think preschool is that important. And we know we have wait lists at private preschool as well as these school preschools, and let's do that. And let's make it align so that the document aligns with what we're actually doing in the schools. So that was a positive. And then we had the big discussion that was postponed from December about what should the school bond look like for the capital needs and what kind of debt should we use for county projects.
Was there any progress made on that discussion? That was the thing that I had circled that I definitely wanted to ask you about.
We've pretty much eliminated, although I think I had two or three emails today saying why that we just really can't financially do a $1 billion of school needs. That's what the report and the analysis shows would be the best case scenario. And we simply can't afford the best case scenario. And then we'll discuss this again Friday. We have our annual retreat Friday, Southern Human Services. It's a public meeting. From 9 to 4, that'll probably be on the afternoon agenda. I don't really know. I wasn't on the agenda planning committee. We'll come back to it. And, then part of it's $130 million for county facilities. Well, could we do half of it and stretch it out, sort of $75 million, a little more than half with inflation? and stretch the first 5 years into 10 years and then come back or not. And those in particular include a newer EMS facility that's needed, a gym, place the old 1950s gym up there by Whitted and put it close to Fairview. And put, you know, the Link Center, which is our administrative building, has been sitting empty since 2019 or 20 because of mold and water infiltration that could not be remediated. You know, should we remodel that in order over there with the whole court complex and that we don't use the jail? It's that's sort of one of the dominoes. So I don't know. I don't think we did not agree. We agreed, I think, that we can do a bond, that we can do more than $130 million. But, and then we argued over, we discussed whether with the bond, typically in the past, then the allocations, so the public knows, are based on student count, you know, and it'll be allocated proportionally. And it generally ranges like 40% to Orange County schools, 60% to Chapel Hill Carbo schools. And or versus project, and so we'll have that discussion. We'll talk more about that on Friday as well. The timeline, the absolute drop dead date is April, but we really need to make decisions by February so the school boards can discuss and do resolutions and just get, you know, bureaucracy takes time to get all the paperwork done for the LGC to approve as well, and then for the November ballot. And you can only do bond referendums in even years.
So is kind of the end of February, the date that you're looking at is when those decisions will hopefully be finalized?
Yes.
Speaking with the chair of the Orange County Commissioners, James Etta Bedford. And as I said, that was what I had circled. That agenda for that meeting was really jam-packed. So I'll ask one more. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention from that agenda before we move on to other things?
That buried deep in the consent agenda, which I think is a positive, in the budget amendment, we did provide and move funding. I can't remember. I think it was from the fund balance so that we can go ahead and hire another person in our sustainability office. We only have Amy Eckberg right now, hire another person who will help with grants and implementing our climate action plan. So that I think that's a real positive for this community and our climate.
Yeah, that's a very tangible step in the right direction, it would seem. To you know, it's one of the things that fascinates me about local government is that process of trying to identify potential grants and then trying to kind of triage what makes sense to actually do the work on applying for. And it gets pretty overwhelming pretty quickly if you start thinking too much about it. So hiring a person to kind of manage all that seems like a very good idea.
Yes, and they'll have to work, you know, across departments. But with the Inflationary Act, Reduction Act, there's money out there, federal dollars that we need to go after.
I wanted to shift gears a little bit now because before we talk again, we will have the Assembly of Governments meeting where all the area governments get everybody together. I wonder if you could give us a little bit of a preview on that. First, kind of not necessarily from a content standpoint, but just like, what is it like? Where do you go? How many people are there? And what's kind of the mood at these Assembly of Government meetings?
Okay, so I've only been to one before, one in person, one online. So I don't have a lot of experience because of that pandemic that shut things down a bit. but it will be all the electeds from Hillsborough, from Carrboro, from Chapel Hill, and from the Orange County Commissioners. We don't yet include the school boards. I don't know how we would fit that in. And then the managers, you know, the finance folks come, the deputy managers come, and I don't, you know, they, in this case, because of the agenda and the staff that are helping with the agenda items. And so it's sort of big level, I guess. I don't know how to say it, topics. It's an opportunity to build trust, to get to know. There are a lot of new electeds, get to know them. We're going to hold this one at Southern Humane. Normally we have it at Whitted. That's a bit of a, more people have to go the 20-minute drive to Hillsborough. So we're going to cram into Southern Human Services. I'll wear a mask. And with that way we can tape it, live stream it, and we'll have it recorded for everybody. And that's a real plus. And then we have the mayors and I work together to develop the agenda.
So do you have a sense of, you said it was kind of like big picture items, as you don't get that many people in a room together for the first time and make actual like concrete in the weeds decisions, I wouldn't think. So do you have a sense of what some of those big picture items that you anticipate being discussed will be?
Sure. And we don't take any votes on at these assembly of governments. We are going to have a GAIR, which is our governmental alliance on racial equity. I might not have that precisely right, but all of our towns, Durham County, other counties in the region are members, where we're trying to work on racial equity and justice and to permeate that through our work as elected officials. So the equity officers from the towns and county are going to present and give us an update. We're all at different places in that work. And then they recently had an online tool. And I know a subcommittee I was on with the health department in November was just taking a peek at it. And I think it's a very powerful tool, but we need to have a little training. They're going to train us on how to use that tool and how our different committees can use that tool to get data about various issues. We were looking at health issues and how, then it reports by race. And so that's our first topic. And then while they have had briefings across these last 3 years and it's been longer, we're going to do for everybody an update about the potential behavioral health diversion center that the county is planning for right now. We have an option on land in Hillsborough and I know I'm supporting it in this coming budget for next year to build it and contract with some providers as a mental health, both urgent care, then a facility base for adults where they could actually stay over and have the care and its diversion center with a backdoor entrance if there's a someone who's being committed against their will, and police need to bring them or EMS needs to bring them. So it will be a medical facility as well.
Definitely sounds outstanding. I don't want to put you on the spot here, but do you know if there are comparable facilities like that elsewhere in North Carolina?
Yes, because we've toured some people. I wasn't able to go in person, but we've done some virtual tours. Asheville has one that RHA runs that we looked at, and they've been operating 3 or 4 years. And it was good to know, so let's not repeat your mistake. Share, things like, well, you need to have people who are staying, who are coming in, at this time. And if you can get a pharmacy as part of it, that's really beneficial. If you can't afford it, put it in your future plans, how to serve children. There's, I think Durham has one. And I went to, actually did go tour one, but it was just an urgent care recently in Raleigh. And so it was interesting to see the difference, for what urgent care is, where anybody can come in and get a consultation, bring your child. You're just feeling bad, you're feeling depressed. For whatever reason, you can just walk in the door, and then our MCO supports that. And they may or may not bill different Medicaid or medical insurance. And I'm hopeful that it'll be very broad and, you can just, if you have any kind of concern, just drop in and get some help.
We are speaking with Jamesetta Bedford, Chair of the Orange County Commissioners, and we're just about out of time. So now is the time for me to ask if there's anything you wanted to mention that we didn't get to yet.
Tonight at the UNC basketball court game, before the game, we're going to honor the various emergency services officers, police officers of the year, the community heroes with the chamber. So I don't know if the names have been released, so I'm afraid to say who they are yet.
Let's leave it to the grand reveal then.
Okay, yes. But it's always nice to remember. I mean, they work night, day, every holiday, around the clock, no matter what the weather is, and our times and our response times remain good. We're investing in antennas. We're investing in some antenna-type things with the fire departments for the schools. It's a lot of behind-the-scenes work goes on with our emergency departments, the police, the firefighters, sheriffs, EMS, that we just take for granted. So we do salute those heroes.
Jamesetta, great stuff as always. Have a great rest of your week, and I look forward to talking next week.
Okay, great. Talk to you then. Bye.